Parshas Kedoshim, many halachas, and in his opening part, by Rosner writes, "Vayidaber Hashem l'Moishele." Mar Hakadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe, "Daber el kol adas b'nei Yisrael." Speak to the entire congregation of Knesset Yisrael. V'yamar talehem, tell them, "Kedoshim to you." You should be holy, kikadosh ani, because I have kadosh baruch hu, am holy. I'm basically the definition. Hashem alekechem. He called Rabbi Jonathan Sacks after Tzadik Lebracha that something major happens. He says, unprecedented in Sefer Vayikra. So he says there are allusions other places in the Torah, but he says this is unique amongst all the religions in this world. Sefer Vayikra is known as Torah Kohanim, meaning we're going to delineate the responsibilities of the Kohanim in the Beis Hamikdash. Kohanim are the priests. And until now, most of what's been spoken about deals with Karbonos. It deals with the inauguration of the Mikdash, etc. And it's basically applicable to Kohanim. Kohanim, right, were set aside. The Kohanim were set aside, right? And they were people who devoted their lives to Kedusha. They worked in the Beis Hamikdash. And they were the ones who taught Torah to Klal Yisrael. There's an elite group who were given this job, Kohanim, who replaced the Bechorim. All of a sudden, Parshas Kedoshim, Moshe, told, I want you to address every member of Klal Yisrael. The message now being given is not for selective individuals, it's for every single Jewish person. You've got to be holy. So first of all, Kadosh Baruch Hu is saying that every Jewish person has the capacity to be Kadosh. There is no way that we should comprehend that a Kohen can get closer to a Kadosh Baruch Hu than a Yisroa. We may have different mechanisms how we become close to the Rabbi Yisroa, but if there were a scale of closeness, we all have the same ladder to climb, and we all get the same relative number of rungs. Torah was not given to the Kohanim alone. It was given to everyone. He says, we're going to go through this parsha, which has a tremendous number of mitzvos, and we're going to see there are mitzvos between Odom L'Makom, between people and a Kadosh Baruch Hu, and between Odom L'Chaveroi, and man and his friend. Rabbi Sacks wrote, Kedusha is made manifest in the way the nation makes its clothes, plants its fields, in the way justice is administered, and the way justice is thought by those who want to know what's right, in the way workers are paid, and in the way we have to conduct those aspects which provide our parnasa. We are required to have special care, empathy, and take responsibility for the vulnerable, those who are medically impaired, whether they've lost their sight, whether they're hearing impaired, people who are elderly and need help doing their daily activities, and of course, the stranger. Not just the stranger who comes and moves into our community from somewhere else, but especially the gear. M says these are special people, special need people, and I want you to give them a special level of protection. The whole society is to be governed by a havas chinam, love, free love, but not free love the way we used to say, the same way we said sinas chinam is untoward hatred. This is basically the requirement of a havta l'reicha kamoicha, love every Jew. Put aside any resentment, revenge, etc. That's the Yetzer Hara. That's not who you really are. He said, Avram Avinu, in encapsulating service of one HaKadosh Baruch Hu, developed this. We all believe in one HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we're taught that Tzelem Elokim Nivra Esa Adam. Every human being is somehow created in the image of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If that's the case, clearly the individual has a connection that they can develop a special relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, yes, to administer a society and to administer the Beis HaMikdash, we need a certain hierarchy, right? We can't have chaos. We have special groups that are responsible for the Beis HaMikdash. We have other groups, the Sanhedrin, responsible for Halacha. We have Rabbanim, who have the responsibility to teach Torah, because every Yid is supposed to learn Torah. Therefore, it's obvious that each individual can develop a level of holiness and a close relationship to a HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We're told that unfortunately, when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, Chazal basically took what was in the Beis HaMikdash and made it part of the everyday life of the Jewish nation. Our central home, so to speak, away from home, our central spiritual home, became the Beis Knesset and the Beis Medrash, the Shul. And to replace the Avoda, we were given Tefillah, right? The order of the prayers we are to say. In davening, Rabbi Flack said, every single yid becomes, in effect, his own koyein. We each say to a Kaddish Baruch Hu in Shmoneh Esrei every day those things that we need to continue to be alive, to do his will. We say in our own words, we've done wrong, we're human, we err, and we would like kapara. We don't want our misdeeds to hold us back. We daven every day for the restoration of the Beis HaMikdash and for the kingdom of Beis David with the advent of Mashiach. And The shul became that place. We have the ability to give tzedakah, to put into place the caring for others, and our tables at home became a place where we could do hachnasas orchim, we could have guests, and make it akin to a mizbeach of sorts. We're told that, I don't know when, in a period of time in France, the very orai that people were buried in was made from the dining room table. In other words, this place where I learned, where I did other mitzvos, is going to come with me, sort of as evidence of my mitzvos. We know, Rabbi Akiva says, Ashreichem Yisroel, happy are you, praiseworthy are you, Klal Yisroel, Lishnei Mi'atem Etarim. Who is it that you purify before? Avinu Bashamayim. Who purifies us? God in heaven. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us, as Rabbi Akiva says, he lived after the Churban. Hashem has said, yes, you don't have the Beis HaMikdash, but that doesn't mean that you can't reach the highest levels of holiness. We're told, it's in Pirkei Avos, that there are various crowns that were given out. David's family got kingship, right? The priesthood was considered a crown. But everyone was given the Keser Torah, the crown of the Torah, right? And this is unique in that in other religions, right, it's, quote, the priest, the minister, etc., who has a higher level of, call it, adherence to their doctrine than we do. There's two stories that I remember. One is told by Rav Aaron Rakefet Roscoff, Kanega Hora, I think, is 87 today, and is still giving shir in Eretz Yisrael and Grush. He says when he was first a rabbi in a community, I think it was in the Pennsylvania area, he was asked to somehow go into a dialogue with the conservative rabbi at the time. We're talking over 60 years ago. And for anyone who remembers, everybody felt conservative Jewry was going to be the manifest Jewry from here on in. It was the strongest, etc. And he says, but we had a debate. And he says, we're talking about mitzvos, because I think this rabbi may have even had an Orthodox ordination. And he says, they're talking about Shabbos. Rabbi Rakefet says, are we allowed to drive on Shabbos? And the rabbi says, well, you can drive to synagogue. Rabbi Rakefet says, Rabbi, do you drive to synagogue on Shabbos? And the rabbi looks and he says, I asked you a simple question. Do you drive to synagogue on Shabbos? And the rabbi said, no, I'm Shomer Shabbos. He says, what? He says, I'm a higher standard. My Rakefet said, I said to him, oh, now I understand. You're a Catholic rabbi. People looked and he said, yeah. Your standard is you must eat kosher. You've got to use a mikveh for taras hamishpacha. You've got to keep Shabbos, but the masses don't. That's Catholicism, not Judaism. And people were blown away. Rabbi Akiva, he tells a story that his wife said, "What did you do?" And he said, "I had to tell it the way it was." And he said, shortly thereafter, a couple came to me and they said, "You got us. We understood what you said. Conservative Jewry makes no sense whatsoever." And that's the thing. You can't have two standards of Yadus. One for the Hamoinam, for the people, and one for the clergy. One of the mitzvahs in the parsha says, "Uvekutzrachem es ketzir artzachem loisachala pa'asod cholakatzer." When you reap the harvest of your land, right, especially when they were agricultural society, we know there were certain things. It says here you cannot, you're not permitted to reap every corner. There's certain things, we're called the matnas aniyim. There was leked, shikha, and peyah. Three different types of group, gift, given, and left for aniyim. And peyah is one of them. We had to leave, right, corner in the field for the poor. He quotes Rav Zalman Sirotskin in his famous sefer as Nayim LaTorah. He says, there's an insight here into human nature. He says there's two types of gifts that we have to give to different categories of recipients. The first is, as we just mentioned, peyaleket shikha for the poor. And the other thing we were required to give, there were the 24 matnot kahuna, the 24 gifts that we gave, right, to the kohen. He says, when we turn to giving to aniyim, we leave the corner of the field. We leave certain unripe fruits. We leave certain things that we gleaned, certain things that we just didn't pick up, we forgot, or dropped. When it comes to giving to the Kohanim, they get Bikurim, right? Up until Shavuos, we begin to bring the first fruits. And people tried to make that the finest of what they had. We know that if you were a farmer, you had to give truma to the kohen. You had to give maaseh to the levi. There was also 2 years out of three, right? There was Maaser Sheni, which you took Yerushalayim. And in the other year, there was Maaser Ani, Maaser for the poor. And Rav Sirotskin asked, it would seem that there's a lower requirement, a lower standard of those items that we give to the poor vis-a-vis those we give to the Kohanim. Why was one set allowed from inferior produce and one was best done from superior? And it says, the Torah is psychologically sensitive. It realizes how difficult it is for someone who works hard in the field, right? Breaks his back, right? Planting, weeding, watering, etc., worrying about the weather, right? And naturally, it builds up in one a reluctance to lose any of this. This is basically the blood and sweat that you put into it. Therefore, he said, we want to somehow alleviate this difficulty. So when the average person is going to give to the Kohen, two thoughts bring comfort. The Kohanim and the Levim weren't given land in Eretz Yisrael. And they are our clergy. It's only appropriate that the Jewish nation support them. And I belong to that group. Not only that, but every day they bring korbanos on behalf of every single Jew. They're rendering services to the nation. They're definitely allowed and should be paid for this. So he says, that's an easier way we can justify, yes, it makes sense. When it comes to that which one leaves for the poor, he says it's much harder to placate the donor. He says, I know they're telling me that I have to give a poor person my hard-earned produce. There's a thought enter my mind that, you know what? I'm a human being. He's a human being. If he had put in the same effort that I do, he wouldn't be here needy. That's why it's harder for people to, they naturally give to the poor. The attitude is sometimes warranted, but other times it's wrong. You may have been given talents to be a farmer. He may have been made a shlemiel. Right? The Gemara asks in Bava Basra, why are there poor people? And the answer is HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give the rest of the population the ability to earn mitzvos and give to them. So Sruskin says HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to make it easier on those who give to give. For Kohanim, Hashem realized it's easier to give greater quality items, but there's a problem. Somehow we have a natural disinclination to give the poor of the amounts we created, and that's why they did it. I want to correct one thing I mentioned yesterday. We were reading about the notion of not bringing certain korbanos to the Beis HaMikdash, but instead slaughtering the animals outside. I went back and I learned the psukim. What it was is talking about somebody says, I'm consecrating an animal for a Kadosh Baruch Hu. I want it to be a korban. Once that happens, you now have the responsibility to bring it where you're allowed to bring a korban. Once the mikdash was set up, that was the only place. Once the Beis HaMikdash was set up, that's the only place. There were times in history when we were allowed to have private altars. Noach built one, Avram built one, and various times before the building of the Beis HaMikdash, people built them. So at those times, in the time that they call it Heter Bamos, when the private altars are allowed, you can do it. But once we have, right, a place that HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shoyfein Shemoisha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, my Shechina is concentrated, dwells in this area, where the Arayin was, or where the Arayin should have been in the second base of Migdash, you were no longer allowed to bring things on a Bama. So what the Psukim are telling us is, if you do it a private Bama when you're not allowed to, that's when you suffer kares, excision. Because now you're saying, I'm going to do my service the way I see fit. I'm going to do this how I'm comfortable. And the answer is wrong. Because there's a base of Migdash, because there's a Mishkan, you're not allowed to do it. And you're considered as if you basically killed an animal. Says dam yechashev. It's considered if you needlessly spilled blood. So that halacha was not only for the people in the Beis Hamikdash, it was also for everyone, right, at all times when this prohibition existed.